Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Past. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We took a little week off. Episodes backed up, and we needed a break. Oof, too much out here for us.
Man, you know, I think what was the last ep? I got buckled down on
post,
the brain.
Post Bubble House.
Bubble House, that's right.
Well, post, we put out, there was a post Bubble House episode.
Yes, yes.
But here we are now, drinking some more suburban beer from another... Skeleton Key alum,
right?
Yeah, Brother Chimp Brewing out in North Aurora.
Yeah, I had to search for the name of this one. What is it? It's a Happy Wit.
Yeah, a Hoppy Wit.
Oh,
here is to life, a Hoppy Wit. So yeah, it doesn't seem like, I don't know if this was all their beers, but this one was basically a generic label, and we're going to basically pay someone to write on every freaking can that goes out of here.
I actually thought it was like a 16-ounce crowler for a sec, yeah.
But this is pretty tasty. It doesn't feel witty to me.
Yeah. Or happy, for that matter, right?
It just feels like a pale ale,
yeah.
Right? If you were just to tell me this was a pale ale, I'd be like, okay.
It's got a unusually golden straw color. It's relatively clear. So, and I think that's what's throwing us off.
Maybe has like a little like orangey vibe to it, like orange taste.
Yeah.
Tangerine-y, but
Brother Chimp, it's pretty direct too, the logo. It's a chimpanzee dressed up like a monk, right?
Right.
He's got the monk robe. He's got a stein. And he's got some kind of weird walking stick. Is that what's going on there?
I don't know. Maybe that's his stirring stick. Maybe that he stirs the mash.
Oh, yeah, because he's a monk, so all they do is pray and brew, right?
Yeah, or some... he's like a wizard. That's like wizard staff.
Oh, you shall not pass.
But I picked up these cans when I was out there recently. I took a trip out to North Aurora, and okay. This was one of the stops. It is a tiny little place. But it was busy. Like they had a little craft fair thing set up in this room adjacent where I don't know if they usually have tables in there or what it is, but then the bar has like one table and then the bar seating, and it was packed. These people selling their like I don't know, glass blown this and pottery and art and soaps that they made, stuff like that.
I like a nice artisanal soap, you know? It's made with hops.
Sure. But it was like almost too busy, so we had one beer there. I had a Irish red, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
How does it compare, about equal to what's going on here with the
wit? This is better. Their Hoppy Wit is better than the Irish red I had. And I forget what Maeve had, and she kind of...
left it?
She drank most of it, but it was kind of like... we didn't instantly fall in love with what they have going on here.
So it sounds like, for comparison's sake, it sounds like Bubble House. Why do I keep saying Buckle Down? It sounds like Bubble House in comparison to Brother Chimp. It's like Bubble House. It kind of sounds like they're dialed in a little bit more.
Yeah, that's what I felt. If you had to compare the two and you were like, which one am I going to go to? I'd probably say Bubble House.
Yeah.
But... Brother Chimp space is nice. It seems like there's not really anything else super close brewery rise over there.
Well, it says North Aurora, so North Aurora is probably different from Aurora.
Right.
Probably the town above Aurora, I'm guessing.
Next to, over, adjacent to, whatever.
Right, and I'm trying to figure out...
and it's in like a strip mall, Like it could be like a cleaner next door or something like that.
Well, Dos Bros is in Aurora at the Roundhouse.
Right.
And then I think that D&G place is out there. But Aurora is a big city. It's not like these things are like a mile or two apart.
Yeah, D&G isn't that far from where this place is. So you got that. And D&G, I think, has... No, D&G doesn't have food. I'm thinking of the other spot that has like... we talked to the guy who was the chef slash brewer there.
In Aurora?
In Aurora, has like they have like almost like a silo outside. He was doing the
Not Dos Bros.
He was doing the beer program, and it was the Emmett's guy.
Oh, Emmett's has an Aurora space. Maybe that's
no. He left that place. He helped start that place, or he was doing all the beer and the food there. I'm like blanking on what the name of this is. But there's another brewery that's not too far from Brother Chimp. That's
okay.
Like a restaurant brewery.
Okay.
And I can't even think of the name of
it. No, I'm drawing a blank.
So you are getting some places out there. This is almost like a strip mall style brewery.
How did you end up in Aurora? Let's you know, I often wonder and never ask these questions, Brad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, you know, Brad's in Aurora. But I'm like, well, why is Brad in Aurora?
Well, my mom lives in Aurora.
Okay. There we go.
So it was her birthday, so we were taking her out for dinner. And so we left early to go hit up a brewery.
Okay.
And so we went here and we told her, hey, we're going to this spot. Let's go somewhere else because it's not big enough for like more people to show up. And,
yeah.
Like, it's not tables. So then we went over to Sturdy Shelter.
Sturdy Shelter, the old Sturdy Shelter.
Which is what, town over?
Oh, Batavia.
In Batavia. You know,
and Sturdy Shelter is a phrase I use quite often now that you've been to this place okay. a couple times. Yeah.
And... man, they had a beer that I posted a picture of it. It wasn't a hazy, but it kind of looked like a hazy.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Really?
It was a tangerine wit.
Hmm.
But it was a tangerine something, and it made me happy.
Happy wit, huh?
Yeah. That.
That's the real happy wit right there, huh?
Sturdy Shelter, man. They were also packed.
Yeah.
And so Brother Chimp being packed, that's great for them. You know, I've had two beers up there, so there could be something else I'm missing. So I'm not trying to say, like, don't go here.
Okay.
Because I think it's a neat spot. It's a fun space. I like what they're doing. So I don't want someone to get mad at us here.
No, for sure. I mean, you know, you have to, you know, listen to what's in here, what's inside, you know.
But Sturdy Shelter, that's the place you're going. If you're okay. going out that way.
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of highlight, hey, since you've seen a few of these things, like, hey, this is how it shakes out from what I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important, too.
Everything about Sturdy Shelter makes me happy going in there.
Yeah.
The space is amazing. The beers are great. It's just so nice. And you can park pretty close to it because it's, like, right downtown.
Yeah.
So it's nice. And that beer was fantastic.
Okay.
We had a beer there, and then we went over to a burger place that was, like, right on the other side of the river there. That they have great cocktails and burgers.
Okay.
I forget the name of that, but the Goat? Maybe the Goat. It's called the Goat. And it was a burger cocktail bar not far from Sturdy Shelter.
Nice.
That was my little west suburb romp there.
I like it. Especially the Brother Chimp thing, we just know it. I just knew it on paper. I know nothing of
Sturdy. Right. And since the Bubble House guy mentioned the Skeleton Key thing and that they were also a part of that program.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I should check this out.
Right. Yeah. I think you have to submit a beer to get accepted to the program. And then they kind of shepherd you into your operation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So cheers to those guys.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to?
Man, it was Saison Day at Off Color.
Okay.
So cheers to them. So Allagash actually designates certain breweries to participate in Saison Day nationwide. I think it's like maybe five, not a ton of them.
So you have to like get their permission?
Right. That's what I said too. I was kind of surprised by that because he's like, yeah, you know, there's this catalog of beers that you can pick from. And it's a vault of like these cool Allagash releases. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, so this is at other places. And that's when he went into the whole Saison Day thing.
Okay.
But then Off Color kind of used it to kind of kickstart their 10th anniversary celebration. So they had a 10th anniversary beer called Decade Beer. I think that might have been the best beer I had. But then it was Saison Day, so there's like maybe, I don't know, there's like 33 beers. This is an insane amount of beers just for this, like all kind of special releases and small runs and shit. I would say
from Off Color.
Well, 10 of them were from Allagash, okay. And then there was another probably 10 from Off Color, and then the other 10 I would say are just like all their friends, you know, Penrose, Is Was, Afterthought, Jester King, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like there's so many beers that they can't even put them all at once.
Okay.
So they give you this. They give you this menu, and then you just got to glance at the board and see which ones off the menu are pouring at that time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was cool. I had never been to Saison Day, you know, because I think of Saisons, I think of, well, Saison just means season, and the way I understand it, like, I mean, we know Saisons would be a certain way. Like, I guess the typical way would be, I don't know, maybe farmhouse like Sophie, right?
Okay.
Right? Or, that's pretty, you know, like, I can, here I am giving an AB example of what the Saison is, right? But, you know, but Is Was, all they make is Saisons, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. But then, so you think of like a certain type of, you know, kind of bready, barnhouse, funky, kind of tart, lemony, kind of
effervescent-y.
Yeah. Like big mouthfeel kind of, you know, Belgian style beer.
Adjacent to the wit beer.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's called Saison Day, but then when you have all these beers, there's a wide range of stuff, and I wouldn't say all of these fit the Saison category necessarily.
Okay.
It was just kind of a celebration of people who like mixed culture beers, Saisons, and Wild Ales. That, I would say it's more of a range. That's more of your range for Saison Day.
Okay. Yeah. Like farmy beers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, Saison, and you know, I could have this all wrong because, well, Saison means season, and the way I get it, it's like, it was this Belgian style, and they probably all use the same yeast, but whatever the farmer had left over from that harvest is what he put in the beer. So my next farm was growing something different from Brad's farm. Our Saisons wouldn't taste the same. Mm-hmm. You know. So I kind of think that's where it started. So I'm kind of thinking, like, that's how it is when you go to this thing. None of these Saisons taste alike. So
that farmer growing all hemp. This is my... hemp Saison.
So it was a lot of fun, man. You know, I got there like 11 when it started, and good thing I did because it filled out like that. Did you know Off Color had like a little fucking patio
up front? Yeah,
it's one in the front, but then there's one in the back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right, I didn't know it either. And it kind of overlooks the river. They got benches, they got barrels. So I noticed that day.
That space is going to, when they first opened, it felt a little like, man, there ain't nothing over here. Why is this here? And now all that stuff is getting built around there.
Yeah.
And it's just going to kill for that. Like, it's going to be amazing. That's why the Goose Island Clybourne spot, like a brewery leaving that space, you're about to have all that stuff from Lincoln Yards get built.
Oh,
you're having all the new buildings right next to Off Color getting built. Like, there's going to be a lot more people living over there that are going to, like, be wanting those things that haven't been able to work for years, and now they're going to be able to work.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious to see what shakes out in that Goose space because of all the reasons you just named. And then also because I feel like, honestly, man, I think Off Color is like a destination spot if you're in town from, you know, from another place and you're in Chicago. And, yeah, and that space is part of it because, you know, there's parking. It's cool, and it's relatively easy to get to other stuff.
I haven't been over there to that space in years. I go to the, you know, Whole Foods sometimes, but I don't know. There's something I like enjoy Off Color beers when I have it, and it's never, it is like you said, a destination, and it's never like a destination on my mind to be like, let's go over here for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. That's
personal.
I get over there maybe twice a year. Yeah. I think last time we went, you know, we happened to be at the Goose Island Shrimp House. And we're like, well, I don't really want to take this home. Where should we eat it? And we're like, oh, shit, Off Color's around the corner. Yeah. Let's just go there.
Yeah. I did make the event for the, well, I went to the dumpling place for the Saifang beer. And so I would have, if I could have only got that at Off Color, I might have done that.
Yeah.
So I did go somewhere for their beer.
Yeah. And then I think with their, I think they invested in they got multiple canning or bottling options. So a lot of their beers come in that little bitty 275 format.
Okay.
Oh, so anyway, like, when you go to the board, it's like, man, I haven't had any of this stuff. because by the time it hits the store, if it made it to the store, it was gone, or it probably was never released at the store. So when you go, and they do a good job of, I would say, having like a, you know, shit like 20 beers I probably never had before on tap, which I kind of dig that part.
Yeah, because I think that does suck. You go to this brewery, something like a Beguile, who they pretty much always have the same beers.
Yeah.
And most of them are in package. And so you're kind of like, I'm not excited.
I hear that. Yeah. And through no fault of their own, right? Because you're a business. You want recognition, and you made these beers good. You're doing what you do good. Right.
This is what the people want.
Exactly, or you wouldn't be doing it. So, you know, no one's faulting them for that. But I understand exactly what you mean.
But then I don't go over to Off Color. And they have 20 beers, and I'll go over to Bug Isle and be like, I guess I'll get another... I'm
back for the thing.
Yeah, the sunny days or whatever.
Freebird, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll have another Freebird. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was cool, man. It was cool to get over to Off Color. I like those guys. It was a good hang, and it was a packed house. It was good for them to see. Got to talk to Lafler for a little bit, you know. And,
fun. 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years of Off Color, man.
Okay, yeah. That means Penrose is also 10 years?
Yeah. I think...
they might be a little... No, they're 10, too.
I think Pipeworks might be 10. I think Beguile... Well, Beguile had the party, so Beguile's 10. Yeah. But, yeah, that 10-year spot... Coming up quick for a lot of breweries. I think the golden age for the boom of breweries to where we are now is probably 2012 to 2015. So you're going to see a lot of breweries in the next 3 years to celebrate their 10-year. I don't just hold this info. I saw it at the Beer Miscuous, the second one way up north.
Okay.
They got a timeline. The whole wall is dedicated to a timeline of beer. So every year they list all the breweries that opened. And you look at it, there's so much activity between 2012 and 2015 compared to like whatever the other band, the rest of the band is.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah, it was crazy a number of breweries. I would say like the majority of the ones online were 2012 to 2015.
Yeah. And they're all down at the Craft Brewers Conference right now.
Oh, Nashville, man. Music City.
The World Beer Cup.
Oh, shit. World Beer Cup is right now.
It's right now.
It started at 5, so it started an hour ago. I forgot it. I'm glad you said that, because I kind of want to know what's going on there.
Okay, well, maybe we'll jump on a live afterwards and run down some of the winners, what we see.
Yeah, I think it's the same crew that puts on JBF, Brewers Association. JBF medals are every year. World Beer Cup every other year.
Okay.
So those are the two big parties. JBF and the Craft Brewers Conference. Craft Brewers Conference is a party, but it's really more about seminars and shit. But every other year is World Beer Cup.
Yeah, learn how to filter your water
Learn how to recycle your hops, how to fucking...
Your pack taps.
Methods of, propagating yeast to get more fucking...
can footprint. Runs.
Yeah, all that kind of shit.
Inside a truck, energy battery truck.
Like shit you would only care about if you're making fucking beer and putting it in... packages. Yeah.
I've been to many craft brewers conferences, and this was as social media was starting, so they also had lots of stuff on like marketing your brewery on Twitter and things like that. So there are some of those too. Like,
okay.
They're all practical things. All practical things for brewery owners and operators and adjacent people to it.
Yeah. I went to Portland 1 year. And I remember like, man, this is good because I had never been to Portland, just kind of overwhelmed by all these Portland breweries and all the food. But then the seminars, I'm like, man, if I get one more trinket from one more fucking, can line company or, coolant company, I'm just like, some of this stuff is,
not for you.
Yes.
But okay, so you did Off Color, and then you did a few other city spots. You're holding down the city these days. Like, it feels like every now and then we flip it, where Nick's out in the suburbs a lot, and I'm out in the city, and now vice versa.
Yeah.
What other spots did you hit up?
Yeah, this happened to be Ravenswood Crawl. Okay. So this was, I always want to say Half Acre, but no, it was Spiteful. Spiteful. Forbidden Root Cultivate, and the Beguile.
Okay, so you skip Dovetail and Half Acre?
So right, and Hop Butcher.
And Hop Butcher.
So we were at those places, which is kind of weird, but I'd never done that route, so I said, fuck it, let's do it.
But you were like, just that Spiteful.
I was just at Spiteful for the stouts. I went and did stouts at three different locations. So I'm at Spiteful like twice in 2 weeks. I'm at Spiteful.
And then I was there after the strong beer time at Half Acre.
Yeah.
So what are we doing at Spiteful?
Spiteful's a good hang. You know, they're making a Cubby Bear beer, which is a lager. So it'll be, I thought there was more than one Cubby Bear location, but I think there was one in Lincolnshire now.
It's different than Half Acre's Cubby Blue.
No, who's making Cubby?
Oh, not Half Acre. Goose Island.
Because Goose Island closed. Yeah, the Goose Island Wrigley did used to make Cubby Blue. And I'm pretty sure they make it at Clybourne.
Yeah, he said he made it. Mike Jacobs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, at Goose. But no, the Cubby Bears are a bar in Wrigleyville.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So I think it's good. The lager for them, and they let them use the logo. It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet can. Yeah. They're making, you know, double IPAs, IPAs. What else? They got a peach wit called Bleacher Bum out, and they have a like a 2% seltzer, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think I had that.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, it's they had a lot of light options. They had their, it was a spring. This is all their spring lineup.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was cool.
It is interesting that Half Acre has this patio space. That's nice, but there's something better about hanging out at Spiteful, but I want to drink Half Acre's beers.
I didn't know how this was going to work when they even announced that they were going to set up shop next door to Spiteful or Half Acre. I'm like, how's that even work?
So it is just funny that, like, I like them both for different reasons.
Right.
Like I'm going to hang out at both usually if I'm over there.
I mean, Half Acre is unstoppable, right? We're the Half Acre, unofficial Half Acre podcast. I actually kind of like hanging out at Spiteful for some reason, little bit more, right? Almost.
It's like a garage door, like.
I can't explain it. I cannot explain it. I think I like hanging out at Spiteful more.
That's what I'm saying.
As much as I like Half Acre.
It feels like more casual.
Yeah. There's dogs. There's the garage doors. There's just this a vibe where you can show up and be rowdy with 20 of your people. You know, there's the sidewalk seating. There's something. It's got more edge about it. I mean, Half Acre's, you know, bigger and you know.
It feels like Half Acre. You have like a purpose. You are there to like eat or drink this thing, and you need to leave that. Half Acre's like, yeah, hang out all day. We're gonna put something else on. You wanna wait around for that kind of feeling, like almost more of a friend's house.
Yeah. So, I love that they're next door to each other. It's kind of cool. Yeah. So, cheers to those guys. They debuted at FOBAP. The first beer they ever made was Go Fuck Yourself Stout, GFY Stout.
Then you went over to Forbidden Root.
Well, then there was the Beagle, then Forbidden
Root. Oh, Beagle.
The Beagle, home of the Stouty Beers is what someone's called them once. I'm like, Beagle, home of the Stouty Beers. Who gave you this script? It's so funny. Beagle came online in 2012. Kevin Carey was there. So I asked Kevin Carey because he just retired as his whatever his board seat was. He might have been president.
Okay.
So I'm like, me and Brad talk about this shit all the time.
Which we got to just have a podcast with him.
I like Kevin Carey a lot. He's a super fucking cool guy. He's super chill. He's got the beard. He's got all this fucking hair.
At this point, yeah. That's kind of surprising.
It's ridiculous. Oh. So I'm like, dude, would it make sense to do it at a place like United Center or Adler Planetarium? We're talking about beer in the glass.
Oh, okay.
Because the real beer in the glass, if you will, is gone, and now it's at the train station.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I would love to do it. I'm like, I said, how realistic is it? Because I'm saying as a consumer, let's party at Planetarium, but is that realistic? And he's like, you know what, man? Honestly, it's a huge fundraiser for us. So we got to decide, what do we want to do? Do we want to have a killer party and do some cool shit like you're saying? Or do we want to blow it out, sell as many tickets as we can, and raise money for the guild? Mm-hmm. He's like, you're not going to be able to do both.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, when you put it in those terms, it makes sense. So I appreciated Kevin Carey for saying
that shit.
So
back to that feels like their beer, right? We were just saying, like, they're practical in the beers. This is what we're saying, like, Off Color has these 20 different beers that, you know, may not work, could sit there for a long time. And Beguile's like, we got these beers, they sell, we're gonna keep doing these until people are like, we don't like these anymore.
His explanation is in line with
but he was an accountant.
Oh, okay.
Like, that was his
life. is that his backstory?
His previous life.
Okay. It's all coming full circle now. Yeah. So that was cool. You know, I asked him, I'm like, dude, what are you selling the most these days, you know? And he's like, honestly, man, What he said, and I thought about you, because he's like, dude, you wouldn't believe how much Christmas beer we sell.
Oh.
He said the Christmas beer is like their number two SKU is the fucking Christmas ale.
That's stupid.
60% of what they sell is the, what's their golden? Whatever their golden is. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
But 60% of all their sales is the golden. Okay. Right? And then after that, you go into seasonals. And for them, seasonals are IPAs, stouts, and the Christmas ale. But if you look at those beers individually, the one that they sell the most after 60% of the golden ale is the Christmas beer.
Interesting. They should do a Christmas in July beer. Like, this should really be like a style or a theme. You have maybe the spices of Christmas, but in a lighter beer, maybe in a lager.
Yeah.
A Christmas lager that's like spiced with maybe some of that nutmeg or even a pumpkin spicy kind of thing.
I'm with you because, at Sox Park, they always do Christmas in July, and I like just Christmas in July as a theme. But then also, I saw that beer, the Christmas beer, in the cooler, and I was thinking, like, man, if I was eating food here, I would probably grab that Christmas beer.
During Christmas in July?
Right. I'd probably have food at Beguile and have a 4-pack of the Christmas ale and just drink that and sit in the windows, yeah. So that was an interesting stop.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Shout out to Iswas. We were talking about their only Saison. All they do is make Saisons. They brew once a month at Beguile.
Okay.
And before that, they were brewing at Mars, but then Mars started making all this different shit. They're making canned cocktails. They're making seltzers. They're bottling
coffee.
Yeah, spirits. So they didn't. They were like, you gotta find somewhere else to go.
Like, get out of our
house. So now they're brewing at Beguile. Yeah. So he's kind of like a gypsy brewer.
Okay.
Yeah. He started at Pipe. I know him from Pipe Works. That's where I met him.
Okay.
Shalal, Mike Shalal, I believe. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was cool.
All right.
And after that, we end up at Forbidden Root, the Cultivate.
Cultivate, which I still haven't been to, and I kind of forget that it's over there. And
yeah,
honestly, I kind of, not living in Wicker Park anymore, I've kind of forgotten about Forbidden Root a little bit.
Because if you're in Wicker Park, then that's one of your staples. You know, you got your Peace, you got your Forbidden Root, and then you got probably the Brewing District.
Yeah.
So
it is kind of, it's just like where you live, you often just drink what's around you kind of thing.
For sure.
Or you go extra far.
this is a weird show, man. We're out of here. I look up and Brad's way the fuck out. I'm way the fuck out. It's hilarious. Yeah.
And you were saying in the pre-show, Randy Mosier?
Yeah.
You're saying out there?
Yeah. I walk in and, you know, they have that Jace, that, you know, specialty bar event space. You have to walk around the back to get to it.
Right
in the back of there.
So anyway,
you walk into the front door of Forbidden Cultivate. They walk you out the side door. You go down the parking lot, up another door, and Randy Mosier's right there. And I'm like, oh, shit, Randy Mosier. He's like, hey, Nick.
It's like, you need to buy weed? I'll take you to this guy on the corner.
Yeah. So they have a Purple Pills, which is, a Pilsner with their botanical treatment.
Is it beets?
No, it's chamomile and I want to say lavender.
Okay.
I think they're trying to...
That's a great name.
Oh, Purple Pills. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're trying to recreate... It's like a deconstructed white wine kind of thing. They're going for a white wine thing with that Pills.
The name.
The name is strong, though.
The name is strong.
I do.
The beer doesn't sound...
No, the beer's delicate and soft. And
it should be... Like, it should taste like... grape juice, like a punch in your face, kind of like Kool-Aid Man, like, oh yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
And then be like 15%. Like it should be like a jungle juice.
Oh my God.
Kind of thing. That's what Purple Pills should be like, right?
I mean, they got the name. So maybe we'll see it reinvent itself at some point. When this batch runs out, maybe they'll go in a different direction.
Yeah, stop being soft over there for a bit of rude.
So, you know, I'm telting them what Beguile talked about their sales, and they're like, yeah, most of the beer we sell is this strawberry Hefeweizen, strawberry basil Hefeweizen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's also the most expensive beer they make, you know, even though it's the top-selling beer. And I was just kind of I wasn't expecting them, I don't know what I was expecting them to say, but it's interesting to see what's selling out here. That's all, so.
I guess every brewery almost has this... unique beer that sells more than you think it would, right? That's sort of what happens, is everyone's like, this Hefeweizen is great. We love Beguile's Christmas beer. We love this brewery's, I don't know, raspberry chocolate stout. We love this one's whatever.
Yeah. You have no idea. Like, I know what we drink, and our thing is kind of just like, I don't know, all over the place. But it's hard to be in tune with what people are drinking.
Right. And we often drink a lot more pale ale, IPA, America, like in that lighter range, because we're doing a show, we're talking, you know.
Yeah. So it was cool, man. Not much to report from there. They got three locations still, and they're kind of letting the brewers run wild and make what they want. And then I think the Root Master, who's the guy who tapped Randy to be a partner, they call him the Root Master. I forget his name. Oh, Finkel, Robert Finkel.
Okay.
They kind of offer their input on what these brewers are suggesting, and then they all, as a group, select what the beers will be for all locations.
Yeah. Okay. So, nice.
You know, it was good to see Randy though.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a new book coming out. He wants to be on the show.
Oh man. Yeah. We do it at the spot. That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. He's got a new book out, and it's about sensory. You know, I'll pull it up right now. But yeah, it was cool because he's a super nice guy, man.
Yeah.
Your Tasting Brain is what it's called. So, Your Tasting Brain and How It Works. Yeah. So
that could be fun. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. A couple other stops I made. I was downtown, and I was right over by Rock Bottom, Chicago.
Oh, man.
If it would have been there, I would have went there, but we ended up going to Rossi's.
Oh, shit. I know Rossi's.
Which is like a dive bar, cash only, but amazing beer selection.
Really?
That's why I'm bringing it up. They have three coolers there of all the craft beer you could want. Ended up getting, it was after we went to Cindy's, so it was after Margaritas. And so I went with the Noon Whistle Brewski. That's just their lager.
Brewski.
And I was like,
how'd you feel about the Brewski, man?
I was like, this beer, I'm not the biggest Noon Whistle fan, but the Brewski was amazing. I was like, the name is great. This beer is great. That was good.
Brewski.
And yeah, it looked like a old, the logo was like an old style beer, like not old style, but old classic style, like beer logo. So that was cool. So it's downtown drinking there. And then went out to Sketchbook Skokie again. I love hanging out at this space, similar to Spiteful, where it's just a great space to be at.
Yeah.
The patio is amazing, or their outdoor, I don't even know if it's a patio, it's just like a
it's almost yard. Like their front yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Front yard with fire pits, and right off the street.
And this was on Saturday, and the weather was great. We're just kicking it there on some benches, having a couple beers. I think I drink a few of their Radlers, which is like 2.5%. Take soaking in the sun, and it's right off the bike path for anyone like leaving the city. Like, just get on the bike path right over by Superdog, and you're there in like 15 minutes.
Really? Well, you pedal pretty fast.
Yeah, we were on electric bikes too, so we did the whole thing in like 20 minutes.
Okay, I'm like
door to door. Like, man,
I don't
know
if I could go from Superdog to Spiteful. I mean, to Sketchbook in 15 minutes.
But... got on that electric bike and go. Man. I've been at Sketchbook multiple times already this year on bikes. Like, that's just, I almost forget that the Evanston one exists now, because it's like, I got the Skokie one.
And yeah.
It's kind of a better hang to me.
It's a better hang, and then, let's be honest, Evanston's kind of out of the way.
Right.
You know?
It's like, sort of hard,
Like, what are you doing? Like, if you're going, Evanston's very intentional. Like, it's kind of tough to get to Evanston.
Right. And if you go to Evanston, like, if you're biking or whatever, Temperance is super easy to get to because it has that trail, the bike trail that kind of goes down the main road there, and Temperance is like just slightly off of it because Temperance is at like the end of Evanston, where if you're going from Temperance to Sketchbook, that's kind of a drive. Like, sure, they're in the same
town. They're like 2.5 miles apart though.
Right.
Temperance is like West Evanston.
So Temperance is super easy to get to on a bike. So we've been doing that. Oh, yeah. So really, yeah, I've only been drinking out really in the suburbs at these breweries. Yeah. So I guess I got to bring it back home.
Well, you know, it's also good to leave the city. I'm not a stranger leaving the city, so it's good to see what's going on in the area, too. Because without it, you know, I think you're more likely to kind of get into your little, like you just said, whatever your routine is, whatever you're closest to, like residentially, yeah, that's where you end up going. So then if we just did that, then the show would just be Half Acre, Old Irving, you know.
Metro.
Right, it'd be like the same five breweries.
But now I'm going to Sketchbook all the time, and like, I like can't get enough Sturdy Shelter.
Right.
And so it's kind of like end up being like, do I go to Art History or do I go to Sturdy Shelter? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check out Sturdy Shelter at some point. If I find myself out there.
The burger guy goes there sometimes.
See, that'd be good.
Silly post. Yeah,
that'd be a good reason to go.
Cool. And then you mentioned, like, we're talking Spiteful and Pipeworks. There's that crew Flesk, which they were, weren't they around the same time?
That sounds about right, yeah.
So they closed, and now there's a new brewery taking over that place. The assistant brewer is starting a spot called Sundial?
Yeah, Brewing? Sundial Brewing and Blending. It's a collective of friends and family focused on creating beers inspired by farmhouse traditions, man.
And this info comes from Sean Curry.
Yeah, Sean Curry, hello. Man about town, our man on the street.
Yeah.
Sundial Brewing is in Barrington, where the Flesk location was. So I'm kind of curious about that. They've got an Instagram presence. They have a Facebook page. And they've actually got, they've got like four beers on. They have a collab with Iz Was.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess if you're basically just taking over the space, there's nothing stopping you from basically just going, right? You already have all the equipment there. You're just like, cool, let's go.
Yeah. Their labels look great, man. It looks like they're, they released the bottle this week.
Damn.
May 7th. Yeah. They released, Pie de Cuvée this week, Cabernet and Merlot grapes. Yeah. Native fermenting. I'm curious.
Interesting. Cool. Well, then, before we get out of here, we want to mention the events happening again this month. You got Illinois Craft Beer Week, which we talked about, beer in a glass, happening at Union Station on a Friday. Tickets are available for that. You got Dark Lord Day. Tickets are available for that still, because it's like going to hold like 50,000 people.
A lot of people.
And then you got May Festiversary over at Beguile and Dovetail,
which apparently is a fundraiser for like a food shelter on the northwest side. So the last one, the October one, raised like $7,000 for a food shelter.
Shit, okay.
So it has a purpose. I didn't know that either until going to Beguile.
Okay. Those are right now the big ones on our radar. There's going to be other events around Illinois Craft Beer Week with the Passport thing. Tickets went up for sale for Oak Park Microbrew Review already.
Did you see the Goose Island 35th anniversary beer?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's a cuvee. Where'd it go? God damn it. Ozanar. It was on Ozanar. Here we go. Anniversary cuvee. So it's Goose Island's 35th anniversary beer. Comes in 4-packs. It's $20, and it's a crazy blend of looks like 5 different beers. It's a 48% English barley wine, 28% oatmeal stout, 13% rye stout, 8% American imperial stout, 3% quadruple ale. Yeah. So look at them. They got
That's
a barrel
a big
aged.
Beer.
Is this a barrel aged cuvee? Yeah. 5 different styles of beer aged in the Goose Island. Look at them. So first, their barley wine is back. Now, they follow that up with a cuvee. I would say they've been inspired to create these, or re-release these styles, or create these styles.
Back to the roots, right?
So good for them. I'm curious to see what it tastes like, you know? You got these two heavyweights in town for barrel programs, so if they're both releasing cuvees, and they're both releasing barley wines, you know, be a good chance to take them for a spin.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Anything else that we should mention before we get out of here?
I don't know, man. I think that's it, man.
I think that's all I saw, too. Just looking forward to this nice weather, warming up, drinking some beer, riding more bikes. Probably less driving and more biking to breweries over the summer.
I'm looking forward to getting on my bicycle, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
So cool. Let us know if you have any spots that we should hit up, or anyone's listening, or places we haven't been to that we've like overlooked in a while. So let us know. But that's going to do it. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, website, chicagobeerpass.com. Episodes go up there. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.